Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 17 June 2026, 2 Corinthians.
All right, there's one announcement before we get started. There will be a super short teachers meeting. You can only be 3 feet tall. Super short teachers meeting after class tonight. All right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have some updates. First of all, from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center, June 10th report. Greetings, prayer warriors. Today we had three ladies to start the class for Psalm 23. We sang Standing on the Promises, and all three ladies wanted copies of the promises that we use for the VBS class. The ladies told me that Donna was not there because she had fallen. And Linda was not there because she was very upset about Donna. A man named David and his caretaker came in a little later. The caretaker, Sadia, was taking notes while Pastor was teaching about logistical grace. And the pastor also had us turn to Hebrews 2:14 and 15. And he started teaching that most believers have a fear of death, but that Jesus and our faith in him frees us from that fear. We ended the class at that point. We closed in prayer, and we prayed for Donna. After class, the manager told me that Donna is now in hospice care. Also, that Linda is related to Donna and a very great help to her. They were also very thankful for our prayers for her. thank you for your prayers for this Bible class. I believe David and his caretaker will be back next week. Please continue to pray for these residents. They are very thankful for this teaching of the Word of God. Daria Vanslow. That would be Tim Vanslow's wife. And then we have an update from the Valencia Senior Living Center. June 11th, 2026 report. Today was spectacular. Wow, I love those spectacular days. Today was spectacular. I got there early, and Bob and Charlie were there. And Bob immediately told me he had to leave for the doctor appointment. Now we're down to one. He wanted to tell me in person. But as Bob left, Greg rolled in. I brought a big print Bible for Bob and Charlie, courtesy of Upland Bible Church. Both men were very appreciative, and both told me that they did not have a Bible. We started lesson 4, and Pastor went right to Hebrews chapter 11. He was teaching about the faith of Abraham, following the Lord to the new land, not knowing where he was going. And when he arrived, he lived in a tent, because Abraham knew that his citizenship was in heaven, and he was just a sojourner in time. Very good word there, sojourner. You even got it spelled right. That was very good. Both men love the class and have stated they are looking forward to heaven. Please continue to pray for Bob and Charlie and Greg. So now you're up to 3. That's very good. Thank you for your prayers for this class at Valencia. Jerry Cajon. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is having to exercise his spiritual authority. There have been some false apostles and false teachers that have come into Corinth, and they are slandering, maligning, and judging the Apostle Paul. And some of the people in Corinth, some of the believers, are listening to them. And they also are slandering and maligning and judging the Apostle Paul. So here are these believers accusing the Apostle Paul of living his life by the power of the sin nature. They were accusing him of having no spiritual life. They were judging and slandering him that he was living the carnal reversionistic life, that he was out of fellowship with God. And of course, you understand that one of the most evil and vicious evils is sins of the tongue. Judging, slandering, maligning others, that is a vicious evil. You are totally carrying out Satan's plan for ruling planet Earth when you do that. By judging and slandering the Apostle Paul and his team, they were the ones who had no spiritual life. And they were the ones in reversionism, not the Apostle Paul. So at that point, we studied two important doctrines, the doctrines of the sin nature, and the doctrine of reversionism. So corrected translation of verses 1 and 2 sounds like this. Now I, Paul, myself appeal to you by the humility, and the Apostle Paul has genuine humility in his soul. The Apostle Paul has the greatest respect for the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the communicators of the Word. I appeal to you by the humility and the graciousness of Christ. The Apostle Paul has maximum grace orientation. He has the royal family honor code in his soul, and he is manifesting virtue love in his life, impersonal love to all the believers in Corinth. Then he gets into the slandering he has been receiving. Who, I, Paul, on the one hand, when I'm face to face with you, I am being slandered, maligned, judged that I'm a mouse, meek, timid, groveling. But on the other hand, when I am absent, I'm being slandered, maligned, judged by you that I'm a lion and am bold against you. Verse 2, in fact, I request when I come face to face with you that I may not have to be as bold with the confidence, with which confidence I propose to be bold and courageous against some of you who are constantly accusing us, slandering us, maligning us as living our lives according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. Well, that brought us to verse 3, and we just started exegeting verse 3. We have the first phrase in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the present active participle of the verb peripateo plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of sarx. The post-positive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar. And the illative introduces a reason and correctly translated for. Then we have the verb peripateo. That's great. We're going to get to that, hopefully. Peripateo. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-long-O. Peripateo. Literally, peripateo means to walk around. And we walk around en sarki, in the flesh. In this clause, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on our human body. We live our life on earth en sarki. We live our life in a human body. So this is putting the spotlight on the physical limitations of our human body as we live here on planet Earth. The participle peripateo is a circumstantial participle of concession, and the concessive participle is correctly translated though. So, corrected translation, for though we walk in the flesh, for though we live our life in a human body with its limitations. That's as far as we got in our exegesis. Now we move on. We do not war after the flesh. This is the present middle indicative of strateuo plus the objective negative ou plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of sarx. Now, at this point, the rest for the next few verses is very, very powerful. This brings out about the fact we are all in a war. It's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. It's the angelic conflict, and we are all in it. And our adversary, Satan, it operates 24/7 against us. Now, we're in this spiritual war, and there's only one way you will ever be victorious in this war. And that is to have the spiritual weapons that God provides for us. And that's given here too. We're going to see that too. Most Christians, unfortunately today, and sad to say, are casualties in this angelic conflict. We're all in the war. And Satan has won the war against most Christians. They're casualties. But there are some who are victorious and glorifying God in the middle of this spiritual war. Angelic conflict. But that's what we have here. We do not war after the flesh. From now on, it gets, this is some really powerful verses. This is the present middle indicative of strateo with the objective negative ou, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative singular of sarx. First of all, the verb strateo. S-T-R-A-T-E-U, long O, strateo. All right, a couple of things. One, strateo means literally, this is the verb that means to serve in the military, to do military service, strateo. To serve in the military, to do military service. Two, figuratively, it's used for the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Figuratively, it is used for the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Three, the objective negative ou slams the door. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ou, that's the objective negative, and that slams the door. We absolutely cannot fight this spiritual war, kata sarx. Preposition kata, k-a-t-a, and the noun sarx, s-a-r-k-s. Kata sarx. So the objective negative ou slams the door. We absolutely cannot fight this spiritual war, kata sarx, according to the flesh. Now that includes several things according to the flesh. That means according to human ability. It means according to human power. It means according to human viewpoint. It means according to human weapons. It means according to the sin nature and be victorious. So the objective negative ou slams the door. We absolutely cannot fight this spiritual war. kata sarx, according to the flesh, according to human ability, according to human power, according to human weapons, according to the sin nature, and be victorious. For all of us, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is in this spiritual war. We are all in this spiritual war. No matter if you're male or female, no matter what age you are, we are all in this spiritual war. Five, this spiritual war demands that we use spiritual weapons in order to be victorious. There's only one way to be a victor in this war. You have to use spiritual weapons. You have to use the grace and power of God. You use the grace and power of God, you will be a winner. You will be victorious. If you use your own human ability, human power, human viewpoint, you will crash and burn. You will be a casualty. Now, the Apostle Paul describes this spiritual war that we are in very magnificently in Ephesians chapter 6. And we've seen this before, but I want you to turn over again. You can't see this too many times, because all of you that are here tonight, you are in the middle of this war 24/7. 24/7. Satan never sleeps. He never sleeps. You sleep. Hopefully, maybe I understand that President Trump only sleeps 3 hours. Well, I try to get 8. I try to get 8 hours. But you know what I love about sleeping? While I'm sleeping, my mind, I'm going over all the classes that I'm teaching. And a lot of times while I'm sleeping, God the Holy Spirit provide for me, oh, here's this. This is a great point. And I wake up and I go, God the Holy Spirit was teaching me while I was sleeping. I tell you, now that is great sleep. See? Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, in the grace and power of God, not your power, in His mighty power. And the only way you can do that is to put on the full armor of God. God has the weapons. God has the armor. And that those weapons and armor go on in your soul. Not on your body. In your soul. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, Satan's policy in ruling planet Earth and strategies is total evil. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of aletheia buckled around your waist. The belt of truth, the word for truth is aletheia. A-L-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. That is the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the first thing, you need to get aletheia, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's maximum aletheia, absolute truth in your heart, in your soul. That's stage four of grace perspicacity. That's the objective. The objective of the Word of God is to get it into your heart. Stage four. Aletheia, buckled around your waist. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And that results with the breastplate of righteousness. Now you have attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. And you're ready to be victorious in this angelic conflict. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, reconciliation, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, the faithless life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, Satan himself. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, not the Logos of God, the Rhema, the communicated Word of God. And pray by the agency of the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then he adds, and pray also for me, Apostle Paul, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, just as I should declare it. And I hope that that's how you pray for Pastor Olson too, that I might proclaim the absolute truth of the Word of God fearlessly, just as I am supposed to teach the absolute truth of the Word of God. So this spiritual war demands that we use spiritual weapons in order to be victorious. Corrected translation then. For though we live our life in a human body with its limitations, we absolutely do not fight this spiritual war according to the flesh, human power, human ability, or the old sin nature. Now in verse 4, we have spiritual weapons for a spiritual war. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the nominative plural hoplon with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of strateia with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the accusative plural of sarkikos with the objective negative oo. Once again, the post-positive conjunction gar is illative, and the illative introduces a reason and is correctly translated for. And then we have Hoplon. He was in Westerns, Hoplon Cassidy. Okay, just seeing if you're with me. H-O-P-O-L-O-N. Hoplon. One, Hoplon literally means weapon. Literally means weapon. Two, we have it in the plural. God has provided the believer with many spiritual weapons in this angelic conflict, in this spiritual war that we are all in. God has provided the believer with many spiritual weapons for this spiritual war. Three, hoplon comes from the verb hoplizo. Looks like that in the Greek, that's H-O-P-L-I-Z, long O, hoplizo. And hoplizo means to equip a soldier. The verb to equip a soldier, to arm a soldier with weapons, hoplizo. To equip a soldier, to arm a soldier with weapons. Four, these weapons are for tais strateias hemon. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Our strateia, the royal family of God's strateia. Now we just need to know what strateia is. Five, strateia means military expedition. It means military campaign. Military expedition, military campaign. And in the spiritual war we are in, this is the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Six, the weapons for this spiritual war are sarkika. Once again, the objective negative ooh slams the door. These weapons absolutely are not sarkika. S-A-R-K-I-K-A. They absolutely are not sarkika. Seven. That's the plural of sarkikos. Sarkikos means belonging to the order of earthly things. Belonging to the order of earthly things. Two, they are not material. Eight. In the angelic conflict, in the spiritual war that we all find ourselves in, we absolutely are not to use human weapons, human ability, human talent, human viewpoint. Nine, we have spiritual weapons that we must use. Spiritual weapons. So, corrected translation. For the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual war of the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual war of the angelic conflict absolutely are not human weapons. Absolutely are not human viewpoint, human ability, human talent. Absolutely are not tanks and guns and grenades, bombs. So one, the angelic conflict is spiritual warfare. The angelic conflict is spiritual warfare, and therefore it demands the use of spiritual weapons. The angelic conflict is spiritual warfare, therefore it demands the use of spiritual weapons. Two, human weapons are only effective in human warfare. Human weapons are only effective in human warfare. In other words, three, it's impossible to be victorious in the angelic conflict with hand grenades, machine guns, tanks, and bombs. It is impossible to be victorious in the angelic conflict with hand grenades, machine guns, tanks, and bombs. Four, if we are going to be victorious in the angelic conflict, we must use spiritual weapons that God has provided for us. We must use spiritual weapons that God has provided for us. We must use the grace and power of God. When you use the grace and power of God, you will be victorious. Five, God has provided many spiritual weapons for the believer in the angelic conflict. God has provided many spiritual weapons for the believer in the angelic conflict. So, corrected translation now sounds like this. For the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual war of the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons. And then we have, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This just gets better and better in these verses. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is the conjunction Allah plus the nominative plural of dunitas plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article plus the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of kathaireses plus the genitive plural of okuroma. Well, we start out with the conjunction Allah. A-L-L-A, Allah. This is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It's correctly translated, but Allah sets up a contrast between human weapons and spiritual weapons. Human warfare and spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. And then we have dunitas. D-U-N-A-T-O-S. Dunitas. One, dunitas means powerful, strong, mighty, able. Powerful, strong, mighty, able. Two, literally, dunitas is used many times for the attributes of God, the essence of God. Three, 3. Figuratively, dunatos is used of weapons powerful enough to be victorious in the spiritual war of the angelic conflict. Figuratively, dunatos is used of weapons power enough to be victorious in the spiritual war of the angelic conflict. And we have Theos, T-H-E-O-S, Theos, the Greek word for God. In the dative case, and the dative case is the dative of agency. The noun in the dative, Theos, God, denotes the agent by whom something is done. Corrected translation. But by the agency of the power of God. But by the agency of the power of God. You have to fight this war by the grace and power of God. If you don't fight it by the grace and power of God, you will be a casualty. And sad to say, most Christians today in America are casualties in the angelic conflict. But by the agency of the power of God. And then, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 717, says that the preposition pros plus the accusative, which we have in our verse, introduces the goal aimed at or striven toward. And therefore, it should be correctly translated for the purpose of. So pros plus the accusative, for the purpose of. And then kathai races. K-A-T-H-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. Kathai races. And kathai races means tearing down. It means destroying, destruction. It means demolishing, demolition. That's kathai races. So the corrected translation, for the purpose of the destruction of okuroma. For the purpose of the destruction of okuroma. Looks like that in the Greek, O-C-H-U-R, long O-M-A, okuroma. Okuroma, you remember where we studied this? No, you don't, because there's a hot box legomen on it. I just do that just to see if anybody raised their hand. I know. Okuroma is a hot box legomen. This is the only time this noun is found in the New Testament scriptures. So, what does it mean? One, okuroma means stronghold. It means fortress. It means a fortified position. Stronghold, fortress, a fortified position. Two, the devil's fortification system is in view in our verse. The devil's fortification system is what is in view in our verse. Three. The devil's fortification system can resist any attack of human weapons. The devil's fortification system can resist any attack of human weapons. Human viewpoint, human ability, human power. The devil's fortification system can resist all of those attacks by human viewpoint, human ability, human power, the energy of the flesh. Four. But God has provided in grace spiritual weapons to demolish the cosmic defenses of Satan. But God has provided in grace spiritual weapons to demolish the cosmic defenses of Satan. Five. We need to use these spiritual weapons for the spiritual war we find ourselves in. We must use these spiritual weapons for the spiritual war that we all find ourselves in. Six. In the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. That's the church age. We're living in the church age. The church age is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, following His resurrection, ascension, and session, He's seated at the right hand of God the Father in the place of honor as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So Satan's attack all the way through the Old Testament was on the line of Christ. And then at the first advent, it was on Christ Himself. But now Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And now we are all part of the body of Christ. So now His attack shifts to the entire body of Christ. First time in human history, in the church age, every believer in the church age is under the direct attack of Satan himself. Every one of you. Because we are the body of Christ. We are living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And the only way we will ever be victorious is to live our life by the grace and the power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit, to live the Spirit-filled life, and the power of the Word of God in your heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And you must have that Word of God, powerful Word of God in your heart, and you must be living by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So, in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, which is the church age, and that's where we're living. We're living in the church age. We need the grace and the power of God because the attack has shifted to every single believer in the church age. Never before in human history, but today in the church age. Seven, these spiritual weapons are supplied by God. These spiritual weapons are supplied by God through grace, perspicacity. Now, I don't know where that went back here. Ah! Grace, perspicacity. God has set this grace system up to arm you with the spiritual arms for the spiritual war that we are in. First of all, He's provided for you a communicator. In the pre-canon period of the church age, apostles and pastors. In the post-canon period of the church age, the highest authority for teaching the Word of God is the pastor-teacher. And the pastor-teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. He teaches the Logos. This is stage one of grace perspicacity. Then stage two, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit takes that communication by the pastor and teaches your human spirit. Stage two, pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. That's stage two. And then that goes down to the nous, your mind. And this is stage three. Here's stage one. Here's stage two, here's stage three. And this pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena in the mind, is gnosis doctrine. But at this point in stage three, this is where Satan really attacks you in grace perspicacity. This is where you're going to get all the attack. And because if you don't believe it, if you don't have positive volition, if you don't believe that gnosis doctrine, you comprehend it. Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching, but Pastor Olson, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, then there's no spiritual momentum, no spiritual growth, and no weapons, no powerful weapons to be victorious in the angelic conflict. This is where Satan attacks, right there. Stage three, and to try to get you into reaction, distraction, negative volition, refusing to believe it, that's where his attack is, right here. Gnosis. Stage three of grace perspicacity. You have to believe it. Only when you believe it does it reach its target. And the target of the Word of God is your heart. This is gnosis doctrine. When you believe it, it's epignosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge. Now you got weapons, spiritual weapons, the powerful Word of God in your heart that you can apply skillfully and accurately to your life in the spiritual war that you find yourself in. You have to have maximum epignosis doctrine in your heart. That is the power. That is the power of God, the power of the Word of God, combined with the power of the Spirit of God. And you have to have that power of God to be victorious in the spiritual war of the angelic conflict. So these spiritual weapons are supplied by God through grace perspicacity. 8, they are supplied by consistent and faithful assembling in a sound doctrinal teaching church and learning and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So they are supplied by consistent and faithful assembling in a sound doctrinal teaching church and learning and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. This passage is so, so important. You don't want to be a casualty in this spiritual war of the angelic conflict. You want to be a victor, victorious. So the corrected translation, for the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual war of the angelic conflict, absolutely are not human weapons, but by the agency of the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart for the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications. For the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications. Now, the fortified systems of Satan are described in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This is the present active participle of kathaireo, plus the accusative plural of logismos, plus the conjunction kai with the accusative singular of pas and hupsoma, plus the present middle participle of epiro, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the genitive singular of gnosis with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Well, we had the noun kathairesis. Now we have the verb kathaireo. Kathaireo. K-A-T-H-A-I-R-E, long O, kathaireo. One, kathaireo is a compound verb made up of the preposition kata, which means down, plus aireo, which means to take. So a compound verb made up of the preposition kata, down, aireo, to take. Two, so literally kathaireo means to take down, to bring down, to lower. Three, kathaireo was used of the destruction of buildings, tearing down buildings. Four, kathaireo is also a military term. It's a military term that means to assault fortifications, to destroy fortifications, to demolish fortifications, to conquer fortifications. So kathaireo is also a military term that means to assault fortifications, to destroy fortifications, to demolish fortifications, to conquer fortifications. Five, figuratively, kathaireo is used in our verse to assault and demolish the plural of the noun logismos. L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S, logismos. Six, logismos means systems of thought. Systems of thought, reasoning powers. Seven, these are cosmic systems of thought. These are cosmic systems of thought. Eight, these cosmic systems of thought include one, rationalism. These cosmic systems of thought include rationalism. Secondly, it includes self-justification. You justify living your life by the lust patterns of your sin nature. Self-justification. That's a part of this cosmic systems of thought. Third, defense mechanisms are a part of this cosmic system of thought. Defense mechanism. Fourth is denial. You deny the very bad decisions that you are making. Denial. You deny the very bad decisions you are making. Five, sublimation. Sublimation. You go out and get drunk, or you use drugs to try to solve your problems. However, alcohol and drugs are not problem-solving devices. These are cosmic systems of thought. Sublimation. Six, subjectivity. A part of cosmic systems of thought. Seven, human viewpoint garbage. Human viewpoint thinking. Cosmic systems of thought. So these cosmic systems of thought include rationalism, self-justification, defense mechanisms, denial, sublimation, subjectivity, human viewpoint thinking. Now our corrected translations at this point says, assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought. Assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought. Well, we'll have to take it up at this point next time. See you next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and become a source that we might be victorious in the spiritual war we find ourselves in. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray this. Amen.